Good Sunday morning, brothers and sisters. This is the weekly radio worship service of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. It's the third Sunday in Advent. Today is December the 13th, just 12 more days until the birth of Jesus. Again, we welcome Sally Fritz, who joins Morena Mitchell for our prelude for today. Please join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for bringing us together for another week of worship. In this time and in these moments, open up our minds, our hearts, and our souls, that we may be touched by your Spirit, and even though we're in a variety of places, we may be joined together as one in your Spirit. Amen. In the mid-1800s, there was an insurance salesman by the name of William Chatterton Dix, who got severely ill. As he was recovering, he had an aha moment and a spiritual renewal. Once fully recovered, he was reading the text of Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, and he was led to express his joy for God in writing the words which would become a song titled, What Child Is This? Please join the TPC singers as they bring you, What Child Is This? As we continue to read parts of the Nativity story during this season of Advent, today we turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Listen to what Dr. Luke has for us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom he favors rest." May God's blessing be upon us from the reading of God's word for this day in Advent. Amen. We are blessed to have, as part of our praise team and choir at TPC, a mother and daughter duet, Karee and Grace Ann Prince. Today, please listen as they bring us the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" written in 1962 by the husband and wife team of Noel Regney and Gloria Shane.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite."
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song,
high above the trees,
with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king,
"Do you know what I know?
Do you know what I know?
In your palace warm, mighty king. Do you know what I know?
Said the king to the people everywhere,
"Listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say.
Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say. A child, sleeping.
Lord, may the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. My wife has always insisted that my white shirts have starch on the cuffs and collar, and so that's something I regularly take to the cleaners. The other day I went in to pick up my order and there was a problem. They could not seem to find my shirts. Boy, I thought, those are the only white shirts I have. What will I do if they can't find them? And because it was taking a while, there was a bit of a crowd gathering at the counter. We were all wearing our masks, trying to social distance, but I think most people are just a little on edge these days and a lot tired of this whole COVID thing, and it appeared those in the room were getting a little impatient. There was not much joy. Suddenly, in came a mom with her young son, and the young son was holding a brand new puppy they just picked up from the pet store down the street. It was a cute little spaniel, and of course it was squirming around, and it decided to yelp with that high-pitched bark of a little puppy. As if it were magic, you could see the room's level went from great angst to wonderful joy. A puppy has a way of doing that. A few minutes later, out came one of the one and only clerk with all my shirts and with much apology. The joy was back, and life seemed fantastic, at least for the moment. That seems to be what many people have expressed they're looking for right now, just a little bit of joy. It's been a long year. We find life in America is filled with battles over COVID, battles over politics, even battles over race and equality. It seems like we're stuck at a place where we can take one step forward and then two steps back. In years past, there's been something magical about the Christmas season to help us bring some of that joy back. But this year, it may be a little bit trickier in COVID to find the joy in the Christmas season. But I want us to think for a moment and go back to that nativity scene from Luke and also in Matthew. We're told from the text that the birth of the Christ child is to be a joy to all people. This was, after all, that moment in history when God, the God of all the universe, came to earth for the salvation of the world. This was God's plan. Many people in the days of the birth of Jesus knew the prophecies, and they were expecting the Savior to come, but as a conquering hero, riding perhaps on a majestic horse. Or if born as a baby, certainly he would be born in a palace of a royal family. After all, he was going to be the King of Kings. But God's plan for joy called for a totally dependent baby to be born to a poor family in a stable and placed in a wooden feeding trough. And God chose to make this announcement not to the political elite, not to the wealthy class who could spread the word, but to average shepherds busy at their work, who at first did not find joy, but absolute fear. This did not have the makings of an event that would be met with much joy. But as the story unfolds, something happens. The shepherds do go to the manger, and we're told after experiencing firsthand the Christ child, even in the form of a baby, they were filled with that joy, and on their way back, they glorified and praised God. When Christ became an integral part of their lives, when they saw Jesus in their life, they found that joy. When the little boy brought in the puppy and we saw it with our eyes, we too found joy. 22 chapters later in the Gospel of Luke, there's a story of two travelers who were walking on a road and lamenting about the death of that same Jesus. Suddenly, a third traveler joins them. In their conversations, you hear they have no joy in the events which had just taken place. But then the text says that this stranger offers to break bread with them, and their eyes were opened, and they realized they were in the presence of the risen Lord, and joy filled their lives. You see, the joy of Christmas, even in the worst possible year, is found in recognizing again the presence of Jesus in our lives. And so I want us to think about finding that joy in our lives in two ways. First, we have to look within ourselves. Joy often happens in our lives externally, but the kind of joy the scriptures talk about is a joy we experience internally. The other day, I turned on our local PBS station just in time to watch one of the great performances presentations. It was the video recorded version of the live stage performance of Holiday Inn. For those of you not familiar, Holiday Inn was a film made in 1942 based upon songs written by Irving Berlin. The plot involves a club performer who's tired of the showbiz life and leaves to buy a broken-down farmhouse. About to be foreclosed, he gets the idea to open it up as an inn, but only open on the holidays of the year, when everyone else is closed. The musical version opened on Broadway in October of 2016, and this was a recording of one of their live performances. Now, I've always enjoyed musicals, and as I've watched them, I've really loved the music, the choreography, the acting, the humor, the set design. And in watching this particular one, I experienced much joy from this two-hour presentation. It was a joy brought about by something external because when it was over, well, it was over. But something happened. Like all good musicals, there was a major song and dance number called Shaking My Blues Away. And long after the program was over, I had internalized that song. The words, the choreography, the energy. It was absolutely one of those moments when it was stuck in my head. Even telling it to you right now, that number and that tune is going on in my head. That is joy when it has been internalized. That's the kind of joy the shepherds experienced in the presence of Christ that stuck in their heads as they went back to their mundane lives so that along the way they could glorify and praise God. If we want to find joy in this season of joy, we need to think about our lives and we need to remember all that God has done for us. All the moments when we experienced the presence of Christ in our lives, all those times amid chaos when we saw calm and in darkness when we saw light. We must look within and clear away all of our past moments of hurt and fill ourselves with the promises of Christ so that not only can we see joy from our past, but look with anticipation for the joy of Christ that is brought to us for today and for tomorrow. We need Christ stuck in our heads. Secondly, we need to find joy when we learn to find it in the relationships God brings into our lives. My stepdaughter Grace teaches fourth grade. She was teaching the other day on Zoom, and she offered her students an exercise when she asked the class to think about and then share this. If they were stuck on an island for the rest of their lives, besides the clothes they were wearing, what three things would they like to bring with them? The class began to answer. Their favorite food was one of the ones mentioned most. Some talked about extra clothes. Some suggested tools or utensils. But one fourth grader jumped in and said this, "I think I would just bring three friends with me, because with the four of us, we could figure out most everything else." What that fourth grader was speaking about was what most humans require, and that is to be in relationship. In fact, in the Genesis story of creation, when it talks about God creating humans in the image of God, it implies that God desires us to be that way so we can be in relationship with God and with one another. The whole Nativity story is full of relationships. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the angels and the shepherds, the wise visitors. Even though the Bible doesn't specify they were three, it does appear in the plural. And of course, all through the story, those people engage in a relationship with God, often by the word spoken through the angel Gabriel. The whole reason for the birth of Jesus as the Savior was so that God could come to earth in human form so that we as humans might be able to be in a better relationship with God. But we live in a society that encourages us to act like the cousin of mine when he was younger. Anytime you offered to help him do something, he would say, "Please leave me alone, I can do it myself." God must have gotten to him sooner or later because he went on to be a social worker. So he would be in relationship with others and help others find relationships in their lives. In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, Stewart plays a man named George Bailey, who reaches a point in his life where everything he has done and every relationship he has had, he feels has been a failure. He's about to end his life when an angel named Clarence appears and saves him. One of the things the angel does is simply replay for George all of those relationships he has been engaged in with all of those people and how their lives would be totally different without his presence. But it goes beyond that. The angel shows George just how far those relationships go in affecting others. At one point in the movie, after pointing out all these relationships, Clarence says, "Well, George, you see, you really have had a pretty wonderful life." We need to take a moment to not only reflect on how God has been working in our lives, but also to reflect on our relationship with God and how God has brought all those relationships into our lives. Yeah, some are better than others for certain, but when we reflect on the amazing way God has worked in the relationships in our lives, there we can find joy. This is a season of hope and peace and now joy. It is my prayer as we move closer to celebrating the coming of the Christ child, you will examine how God is at work in your lives and how God has placed people in relationship with you, and you may find great joy. May it be so. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to our radio worship each week on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Just a quick reminder that we do a Facebook worship, which is different each week and is posted at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Now, next Sunday, beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning, we will do a Facebook Live worship, and then in the evening, we'll do a Facebook Live special program of Christmas music beginning at 5:30. Our next song from the TPC Singers was written in 1821 and performed for the very first time on Christmas Day. The author is James Montgomery, who lost both of his parents when he was young. His life was full of conflict until his adult years, and suddenly he found the joy of having the presence of Christ in his life, which caused him to write the words to the song, "Angels from the Realms of Glory." Please join the TPC Singers under the direction of Jeff Prince as they bring us "Angels from the Realms of Glory." Will you join me in our morning prayer? God, who brings us together in this season of Advent and who gives us reasons for the joy of this season, watch over each one of us. These are important days, and yet they are days filled with struggle. This is a season of hope and peace, and yet this year we still deal with the struggling pandemic issues, and it's easy to feel that hope and peace and now joy have been stolen from us. Remind us from your word and in your promises that you are a God who provides and a God who invites us into relationship with you and with one another. Help us as a radio family, a church family, the family of Springfield, Illinois, the family of a country we call America, to not only invite the joy to be internalized in us, but to also spread that joy in our work and in our ministry, with one another, and with others in the world. Hear each one of our concerns and walk with us through all of our struggles and celebrations on this day and all days. In the name of the Christ child who was born in the manger, who grew up to be our teacher, who suffered and died on a cross for our sins, and who was raised again in victory and in glory, we ask all of this. Amen. Matthew West continues to be one of the strong contributors to contemporary music in these days in the world of church music. One of his newest songs is called Hope of Christmas. West wrote and released this song based upon his desire to remind us of different times from the chaos of the moment that we're currently living in, and to, in reflecting on those different times, draw us back to the birth of Jesus. Please listen to our TPC Praise Team as they bring us the song, The Hope of Christmas.
Take me back to 8 years old, the little church on a dead-end road, with a candle flicker in one hand and dad hands in the other. Take me back to silent night. My heart was full and the world was right. 'Cause right now the world looks nothing like those innocent Decembers. These days peace on earth is hard to find. And I need you to remind me one more time. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. And you're still the hope of my heart. Watch the snowflakes falling down like a blanket on this town. For a moment we can hardly see the pain this year has brought us. May the sick find healing's touch. May hatred's fight be one with love. And may every heart make room for you, the one who came to save us. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the hope of my heart. You're still the hope of Christmas. I bowed my head to pray tonight. Felt my little girl by my side. She slipped her tiny hand in mine, and we both talked to you. And it took me back to 8 years old, my daddy's hand in a story told about heaven's love and a manger low, and a promise that's still true. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the hope of my heart. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the light when the world looks dark. You're still the hope of Christmas. You're still the hope of my heart.
And now may the God of hope, of peace, and of joy surround you all in this season of Advent and beyond. And may you walk each day in faith and in relationships with God in heaven and with brothers and sisters on this earth. Amen. Our third Sunday in Advent is now about to come to an end. Thank you for listening to our radio worship. This worship service takes place because of the work of many, and we want to thank Jeff Prince and the TPC Singers, the TPC Praise Team, and in particular our duet for today, Corrie and Grace Ann. Thanks to Scott Humphreys, one of our production assistants, to Seth Hood, our production manager, and to Matt Miller, who spends his entire life at a computer screen doing post-production editing. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor of TPC. Have a blessed week, and please remember, in this time of the year, stay safe out there.